you guys pre-registered for this class, right? Like you guys like said, I want to do this class. Why this class? And pretty much the people that answer this question actually get a nice little reward up here. So why did you come to this class?
In like the description thing, it was talking about how to be godly on Facebook in a worldly website. And so, yeah.
Great. Okay. So just kind of how to use social media and be a Christian, period. Okay. Oh, well, wait. He has to get his reward first. Come on up. Put your hand just like this. Okay. Okay. Hold on 1 sec, guys. Learn how to what? Learn how to be social in media. You get one. Come on up. Come on up. Here, put your hands right here. Okay. There you go. That really hurt? I'm so sorry. It broke. Awesome. Next person. Okay, so how to share the gospel using social media. That's a really good one to come here for. Hang on. Okay, we're just going to try it. Ready? Hey, even fixed it too. Your magic. More. So share the. So I'm hearing how to behave, how to be a Christian in social media, how to share the gospel in social media, how to be social with media. That was an easy one. You added like one word to my two words here. How to media with social. Oh, that's a good one. All right. What's that? Absolutely. Come on forward. Throw your hand up. You ready?
Yes.
Oh, that's his sister. Man. Great minds right there. That family producing. Go.
All right. Well, I'm always on Facebook and Twitter because I'm just updating all the time. I spend hours, you know, on it all the time. So if I'm going to spend hours doing it, I just make it count.
That's right.
To learn how to, you know, use different things, techniques to make my time count on it.
Wow. Brilliant. You want to give this talk? I'd really appreciate it. That's excellent. Dead on. Come on. You get a big stamp. You might get two for that one. Throw your hand down right there. Yeah, the first person to take one on their forehead gets... Okay, right here, this guy. Ready?
Yeah.
It's an upside down like, though. The thumb, I did it upside down. I'm sorry, man. All right. Somebody else ask a question or answer that question here. Why else did you come here? This back row has been really quiet. This back row is quiet. Why did you come to the class? What do you want to get from this? Anything in that back row? Okay. What about, did anybody in this row say something here? You got a stamp, but you didn't say anything. Anybody in this row? What'd you come here for? Man in the yellow shirt with the tie. The title, social media. Yeah, okay, great. Heck yeah, heck yeah. So what is social media? Somebody tell me what social media is. Media that's social. I'm just going to keep this here. Is it kind of like texting?
Yeah, you're being social and you're using your phone.
It's a media that is social. I think that fits into that definition. I think texting is a part of social media. Yeah, Facebook, MySpace, those are social networks. Mm-hmm. What else?
Technology that allows you to interconnect with people.
That's right, yeah. That's a good one. I'm telling you, I'm just going to ask her questions and she's going to answer them. That'll be the talk. Go. Great, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so in a nutshell, social media is media that is social. But it's any media, whether it's photo, whether it's a link, whether it's text, that has the ability for multiple people to see and then just have discussion around. And so it's media that's social. And so, I mean, how has that changed our world, guys? I'm going to make this a very dialogical talk because you guys are like, your generation is one that's being talked about more than I've ever heard any generation talked about. Now, I've only been alive 28 years myself. But still, your guys' generation is the one people are most freaked out about because you're all grown up like, with iPhones around you, with text messaging from early on. I mean, you just it's in your blood. And so they're really interested in seeing how you guys respond to it and how you guys grow and how you're impacted by it. You're kind of the guinea pig generation. See what technology does to these people. So tell me, What is it doing to you guys? How do you feel about it? Like, just talk to me about it. Go ahead. It's making us farther from God. Okay. Okay. So she thinks it's disconnecting us from God. Go ahead.
It consumes our time.
Consumes time. It's a time waster. Okay.
It makes us feel important, like a bad kind of importance.
Okay. It makes you feel a bad kind of importance. That was deep. You already have a stamp, but that's a good one. Somebody else want to take hers? Okay. You want to give, even though she didn't earn it, she'll get it? That sounds like the gospel, so come on forward. Who's answered that hasn't got a stamp yet? Maddie, hop up. Hop up here. Ready? Now, I have a dislike stamp. They don't even have this on Facebook. So I got this one, so that whenever there's somebody something wrong on Facebook, I just go, mm. And they hear it, too. Did you need one? Did you answer a question? Well, you just answered a question. Come on up. You want the dislike one? All right. Here you go. Put both your hands out there, just like this. Oh, you already have a like. Look at you. Okay, you can have both. And now you can let people decide. You can be like, do you like this or dislike this? I had two, one here on my arm and one here on my arm, and somebody saw me in a coffee shop, and they're like, are those real? Because they know I'm into, like, technology and social media, and they literally thought that I had just gotten these tattoos. I'm like, no, I'm not that hardcore. But, okay, social media. So how's it changing you guys? What feelings do you get from it? I'm hearing over here it makes you feel the wrong kind of importance. It can waste a lot of time. What was the one over here you said? It disconnects us from God and maybe each other at times, even though it feels more connected. Go ahead. Bad influences. What kind of bad influences do you get through Facebook? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You guys see a lot of bad ads out there. Go ahead.
It gives us the wrong sense of a relationship, like a true relationship.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're friends with somebody on Facebook, but you never, like, see them or have a good relationship with them in real life.
Okay. So he's saying social media creates sort of a superficial relationship with people, where you're kind of connected with them, but you're not really. So you're not really going deep with these people, even though you're connected with them. There was somebody in the back row whose hand was up. Go ahead. Got it. Yeah, so the more friends you have, the more important you are. The wrong kind of importance.
So, peer pressure. Because, like, so many people have a Facebook, and then if somebody doesn't have a Facebook, people are like, why don't you have one?
Yeah. Why don't you have a Facebook page? I can see that being a huge pressure. Definitely.
I think that people kind of, like, try and, like, show off their, like, you know, the coolest phone or, like, the coolest computer.
Yeah.
It's status.
I can look good. I can put my best face forward, my best identity on Facebook. What's that? Dislike. Yep. Okay, that's how this is going to work. I like this. Who answered a question that didn't get a stamp? Come forward. A lot of you guys just answered questions. If you don't want a stamp, that's fine. But I think it's really important that you do. Or else I'll sneak up on you and give you a dislike. All right, there you go. Spin it around. Ready? You want a dislike on that hand? All right, this is gonna be the whole thing. Give one of these to Moeller. I can get him to get. Oh, get these at Walmart. No, you can get them on Amazon though. The new Walmart. Free shipping with Amazon Prime, right? That's right. Look at that guy, man. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, and during the earthquake in Haiti, there's this kid who used, like, MySpace or something to find people who were stuck.
Yep, that's right. Like, I have a friend in an office that I work in. It's called a coffee shop, and I actually use it as an office regularly, and there's multiple people in there that are tech types, developer types, and one of the guys that sits there with me develops a software that allows people to report, like, when there's a crisis, like, so when Haiti went down. they could, from their cell phones, from an email, from anywhere they could, report specific things and put their location on it so that relief efforts could come in and they'd be able to look at this map and see where there's water issues, where there's looting, where there's this stuff. And like, it's this amazing crisis reporting stuff. And there he is sitting in their coffee shop with me. So yeah, you can totally use it for, you know, really positive things. There's that aspect of it as well. Go ahead. What's that? Absolutely. Come forward. It doesn't mean I didn't like what you said, though. Go ahead. You could flag, yeah. Okay, awesome. So you can, there is a sense of governing, or like, there's a way to be, to act right or behave right there. Okay. Yeah.
Ah, like,
gotcha.
And it just shows how the world is just giving off the advertising.
It's extremely alluring. There's a ton of lust on Facebook. There's a ton of things that are tempting us, that are pulling on us regularly on Facebook. Could everybody identify with that? Like, I see things on there that are just not good for us to constantly see, or at least something we need to really think about and deal with. I got hand. You see why this is going to be an easy session. You guys have more to say about this than I do, so this is going to be great. Go ahead. Start. We'll just go all the way down right there. Go. Did you have your hand up? You didn't? Oh, okay. Cool.
Have you seen that movie, To Save a Life?
To Save a Life? No, I haven't. Tell me about it. Yeah.
He killed himself in school. Because, he felt really alone. And then his best friend, he went on his MySpace, and it showed, where he was talking about, how he had no one to talk to and stuff like that. And so, in his, about me part, he raised all his stuff and put, stuff like, don't be afraid,
wow.
Yeah.
By using it. So he used his Facebook as a platform to prevent suicide. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Awesome.
Are you stretching?
No, I'm not.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it has this negative spiritual impact on people, where it's breaking relationships, hurting families. All right, we're hearing lots of stuff about social media here in the negative. Any of these hands up want to say something that it's more positive for? Is there anything positive about social media? Go ahead.
Connecting with friends.
You can speak into bad situations. You have access to bad situations that you wouldn't normally have access to. Great answer. Go ahead.
Whenever people put things on their status and stuff, put something about God or your religion to get them to look in something for them to wonder about.
Interesting. So you would use your status update as a way to share your faith on a regular basis. It's pretty powerful. Okay.
Dude, you can mediate arguments on Facebook.
Mediate arguments.
Yes.
Come in and be a peacemaker. Okay. Man, there's so many hands. If I don't answer you in order, if you've been holding your hand up for a little while, shake it like this. All right, right there. I thought so. Fantastic. So you can maintain relationships from the past. You can correspond with them like never before. That's a good thing. Okay?
Like she was saying about her, your status, that you could put a Bible verse as your status and just remind people if you are friends with a lot of, they're Christians.
Yeah.
But there's also, you don't also always be with someone who's not a Christian.
Yeah, definitely. How many people, let's do a specific question. What percentage of your friends on Facebook, just try to make up a percentage, don't believe the gospel? 40%? Keep, just yell out numbers, everybody. 50, 25, 65, 1%. And that guy, he goes to a big church. So we're kind of in the 25 to 60 range. 80% of your friends might be unbelievers. 95%? 65%? All right. Now, of the percentage that you believe are Christian, how many of those are using their Facebook account for the gospel in some way? What's that? 20% of those? 45? Okay. They're actually using it. They're posting status updates that are positive. Oh, that's great news. Okay. So let's bring back to the first number here. So we had anywhere between 20 to 60 to 95% of your friends don't know the gospel. Maybe haven't heard the gospel, maybe just haven't responded to the gospel yet, but they don't believe the gospel. That's quite a few friends. Go. What do you got? Negative 1 million. Wow. I didn't even know Facebook had that feature. I can like have less than friends. That's like having a page that you can click dislike on, you know? That's right. Go ahead.
Well, you can like have a Facebook and be a Christian. I mean, it is really encouraging when you see people who are Christians like using their Facebook for good and like putting in Bible verses, because I mean it's just encouraging to see how even though you are doing something with the media, you're doing it in a good way that has a positive.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask another question. We'll come back around. Save your questions. Keep them. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? And whoever gets this one gets like a double like stamp. Like, nails it. What is the gospel?
The message that is preached of how Jesus is God's son. He was born of a virgin. He died and he rose again in 3 days.
Great. Why did he die?
To save us from our sins.
Okay. What else happened on the cross?
Two other dudes died
on that same cross, but next to him. Yeah. Okay. But what happened on the cross? Why did he have to die on the cross? Go. People just start answering. To take on God's wrath. You guys, I'm super encouraged by this room right now. I ask that question in certain rooms, and people have troubles answering that. And you guys are getting right to the answer. So, well done. It is about Christ and Him crucified. Yeah, and that is going to be kind of what we spend some time on here as we... Yeah, exactly. Seriously. Okay, like stamps. Just wait a second. Let me say this, and then you can come up and get your like stamp. You want to answer that question?
I answered the question.
You did? Oh, you'll come forward in just a second. Understanding the gospel is central to understanding how we should be using social media. So if there's ever a question in your mind, how should I be using Facebook? How should I be using Twitter? How should I be using Flickr? How should I be whatever new thing comes out down the pipeline? This app, that game, World of Warcraft, wherever you are, the question you should be asking is, in light of the gospel, how should I be living? How should I be using this piece of media? And that's what I hope to try to answer today. My talk's actually structured a bit different. It's meant as setting up like digital boundaries, which is kind of a silly thing for me because I'm an experimenter. I'm pushing the boundaries. I'm trying things out. I'm getting out there. And that's because I really believe the gospel. What's that?
That's kind of a contradiction.
Why is it a contradiction? Yeah, it's paradoxical, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like on one hand, I'm aware that this is evil, dangerous, time wasting, yet at the same time, I'm out there experimenting with it and exploring it.
Yeah, you're trying to, like, what do you say?
Yeah, I got that. So I'm going to explain to you why I do that, and I'm starting with pointing at the gospel, because that is why I do it. The gospel is why I'm out there exploring these things, is why I'm out there trying things out, is why I'm out there experimenting and looking for ways to then what? Share the gospel further. And I have to be aware of the dangers and the evils and the things that could potentially hurt me and my family and my friends and my circle of influence. But at the same time, if the gospel is true, what does that allow me to do in social media? What does that allow me to do in life, period? It's a rhetorical question. Don't answer it. If the gospel is true, it means on the cross, I'm completely forgiven of my sins, and not just forgiven of my sins, and made 100% right, and death is conquered on the cross. So what does that mean? That the ultimate thing has already been given to me. The biggest giant has already been defeated. The hardest thing I could ever struggle with in life has already been dealt with on the cross of Christ. And so when I approach social media, I'm not afraid of it. And we don't have to be afraid of it. In fact, as Christians, we can approach this and be more creative, more courageous, more whimsical, which just means you can make mistakes, because ultimately it's God that's going to do the work. And it's the work that he's already done on the cross. And so that's sort of the central piece of my talk here. You guys will hear me say it a couple times over and over again. But I also want to stop every once in a while and start asking questions back and forth with you guys. And I'm probably going to jump around, in fact, because of that reason. Because I think you guys I've heard like 15 awesome things this morning. And I want to keep doing that. All right, who needs their like stamp from the last little round of questions? Come forward. You have like two, three. You're going to be one giant like stamp. Hand right here. You have two. You're good. Excessive amount of like stamps is not good. You like a dislike stamp? Absolutely. You ready?
Yeah. Thank you.
You should put a dislike on Facebook. Because it doesn't really work out. Like, there's a reason my dog died.
Yeah.
You have to like that.
Yeah. If you guys, I'm about to show you some technologies. I'm about to show you some things. Because one of the things I like to do is take you down into the future a little bit. A lot of people are scared of technology. And I just want to tell you, there's reason to be even more scared than we are right now. If the fact that there's going to be a billion people on Facebook in the next 6 months scares you, wait until you see some of these technologies. You can write down this link, churchsmo.com/GMAA. And all the links to the technologies and anything I show you will be on there. And so let's dive into this. You guys want that? Come on, you guys can't read fast? Get that, come on. Give me an answer. Give me an answer. Ooh. Come on, acronyms. I got to help you with acronyms. OMG. What's that? Church SMO. Church SMO. That's exactly it. Half Marshmallow Hatch Church. That's exactly why I named it that. Yep. Okay, next slide. Did you guys write that down? If you didn't, text it to each other or something. What's texting? I don't use that. Texmo is my company, guys. I'm a consultant, and I work with organizations like the seminary and churches and businesses, and I help them understand social media and how to use it and how not to be afraid of it and how to engage in it really well. So that's a consultancy I have. I also have a company called Potluck, and we create a private social network for churches so that you don't have to deal with ads and you don't have to deal with the wiles of Facebook. It creates kind of it has the same sort of activity stream feel to it that a normal Facebook page would, except it's private, and you're not getting hit by ads all the time. Go back one. Go back again.
No.
Feel good? Do you want me to explain this one again? Yes, got it. And there's Potluck. It'll be like Facebook, but you'll set up private networks and then people will pay for it. And so it's not free like Facebook would be. So, all right. So digital boundaries. What happened? Oh, you're right. Digital boundaries. I like that picture. I drew this. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. So digital boundaries. We're going to talk about that now. Boundary number one, discover the joy of narcissism. Boundary number two, spend a lot of time on Facebook. Okay. And boundary number three, don't fast from technology. How do these boundaries sound to you guys? These sound like good boundaries? What's narcissism? It's where you think all about yourself. The story of I'll talk about the story of narcissism here in a second here. But these are the boundaries we're going to cover today, guys. We're going to unpack these. These might sound a little contradictory, but I'm going to bring it back around, and we're going to explain why these are good boundaries. The future. It's here, guys. So we talk about the future a lot, like what's going to be in the future. What's going to be the future? What's that? Oh, you're writing these down. Hey, all of these are going to be available. If you wrote down that link, all of this is going to be there. So don't worry about taking notes. No analog pencil things. Yeah, pencils are like so 2008. That's right. Okay, so the future, it's here. I'm going to try to burn through this. You guys, I'm never going to... I've got like 400 slides to get through. So, no, I'm just kidding. So the future's here, guys, and I'm going to show you some of it. Anybody seen the QR code? Let's have everybody quiet for just this 10-minute segment. We're just going to burn through this, and then I'm going to open it up for questions, all right? QR codes. Everybody used one of these? Anybody seen them? These are quick response codes. Okay, next one. Sticky bits. Anybody seen a sticky bit? Know what this is? So there's people who know what sticky bits is. It basically allows you from your iPhone to scan any sort of product, whether it's a Coke can or whatnot. Yeah. And you can attach comments to things. Like I can scan a Coke can's barcode and I can comment on that can of Coke. And then somebody in Africa can scan the same code and see my comment on that can of Coke.
Seriously, that's awesome.
So you can activate comments on any physical object.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
Do you guys know what this is called? What this idea is called? It's called the Internet of Things. It's the connecting of the digital world to the physical world. So it's this connection of these two things. So if you want to remember something or write something down, write it down. The Internet of Things. Another thing that about the Internet of Things. Anybody seen Green Goose? Nobody has, I guarantee you. Green Goose is a new company that's coming out that allows you to attach adhesive sensors to anything. You can attach an adhesive sensor to your bike, to your toothbrush, to your basketball, to your running shoes. And what this sensor does is it measures vibration, temperature, and sound, and feeds it back through your home Wi-Fi to a website, and you can start tracking things. You want to know how many times a day are you brushing your teeth, or you want to set a goal, I want to brush my teeth twice every day. It will measure every time you touch your toothbrush and feed it back to the Internet into a stream just like Facebook. Exactly. You're shaking your toothbrush a little bit so it knows. It can actually measure the shower. So if you take a long shower, it'll say, and the next day you take a short shower, it'll say, today you, on your website, it'll say, today you took a 7-minute shower. You reduced your carbon footprint by X and you saved 59 cents. Good work. Isn't that awesome? So that's the Internet of Things. And these things will be available for consumers like within the next 3 months. And you'll be able to attach these things to whatever and measure things, you know? Yeah, and they actually created what's called an API, which allows them to push that data into things like Facebook. So now, pretty soon, if you thought tweets and status updates were mundane when you said, I'm bored or I'm eating this, now you're going to start knowing when people are brushing their teeth if they want to share that with you. That should be interesting. Let's get to another one. Who's heard of augmented reality? Augmented reality.
No habla español.
No habla español. All right. Do you guys see what's happening here?
You're Iron Man.
I'm Iron Man.
Whoa!
You got, and somebody will get to be Iron Man, but not right now.
I'll get to be Iron Man.
So can you guys see what's happening here? So watch this. I can raise my hand up here. Oh, I have to turn that on. Hang on. Woo. I can put my hand up here and touch this thing, and it'll change the color of my...
What?
Okay, that's cool.
She's the other Iron Man.
All right. You guys want to see another one here? Yeah, watch this. Yeah. I can turn on my heads-up display.
Whoa! Oh, that's just like in the movie.
I want one, I know.
Dude,
right?
It's just like the movie.
All right, so we'll come back to that. That's called augmented reality. Nobody's heard of that. So that's one example of augmented reality, guys. Those are 3D objects that are being attached. Now, what makes that significant is not that it just like suddenly this 3D object appeared. Is that the 3D object the camera and the program recognized my facial structure. It saw eye sockets, a mouth, and probably ears, the outline of my ears, and attached a 3D object to it. Now, that's happening through a webcam. You can now do these sorts of things through an iPhone. So I can essentially hold up my phone and start augmenting things around me. Potentially, I could hold it up to your face, and instead of your face, I would see an Iron Man thing.
Oh, Iron Man.
Now, obviously, we're not going to walk around in our life holding phones up like this, right? That's kind of awkward, you know? People say, all this technology is freaky, and I say, you know what's freaky is this, us staring into phones all day long. So Another version of augmented reality is this, guys, where you can, has anybody seen this, where you can hold up your phone and it puts a layer down through here and it starts showing you objects? So I could hold up my phone right now and see people tweeting and say there's somebody 0.2 miles over there that's tweeting. Right now you'd find people on campus that are tweeting.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet there's people in another room.
Yeah. It's like a digital layer. So there's digital information. Hold on. Yeah, yeah. So there's digital information floating around everywhere. You can do the constellation thing where you hold it up, it knows where you're at, and you can just turn around. That's augmented reality. That's an example of it. So people are actually building software to change reality. It's pretty intense stuff, guys. This is a little more intense than a Facebook status update or changing my relationship status. There's another example of it in Amsterdam. So that's the technology I just showed you is technology that's here today. Stuff that you can download on your phones and start using today. Now I want to talk to you about near future. And near future means really fast. So what you think is going to come in 5 years is probably going to come in 3 months. Everything, the exponential growth, a new car? Yeah. I would love a flying car. That's one of my, I definitely, there need, MIT actually just the first consumer level flying car just got completed. But we won't actually see it happen. Not because there's too much infrastructure. It's a really sad thing. If you guys want to fight against that, do it. I'm all for that. Okay, so all the technologies you guys I just showed you are stuff that's here now. Now I'm going to talk about near future stuff that's coming down the pipeline pretty quickly here. Now, remember I showed you LASIK surgery. I think that's old school. They use laser now, though, so that's new. So, do you guys know what's going on here? Yes. Has anybody seen Steve Jobs give a presentation and pull an iPhone out of his pocket and everybody screams? Okay. Well, that's how he presents the iPhone. He walks out and he's like, shoo, and everybody screams, or he does something where he shows it and everybody starts screaming. Well, one day, very soon, he might walk out and he's going to point at his glasses and everybody's going to go wild. Because what this is, if you see right here, this is a tiny little camera which is recognizing everything in front of her. And so it knows there's tweets over there. It knows there's a Wikipedia article attached to Southern Seminary here. And she can begin to control these things and get digital information in her glasses. She can. Now, let's take this a step deeper. Let's take this a step deeper. Because it's connected to the internet, I'm standing there staring at my friend here. What's your name?
Shay.
So, Shay, because Google now has a facial recognition database, it'll recognize his face, find his Facebook profile, and pull his status update out of the corner of his head. So what that could look like is this. You walk into a coffee shop, you see Jenny sitting here and Andrew sitting here, and out of the top of their head in your glasses, it pops. They have 102 friends, 253. They're in a relationship, hopefully with each other. And this information is popping out. Now, some people say that's weird. But what's weird? Having glasses or holding a phone like this? Obviously, the way technology is moving is less friction, less stuff to have to hold in your hand and deal with. It wants to become invisible and just a part of your life. And you guys, people, let me show you this here. People are rapidly trying to develop this stuff. And if you don't believe this, you can buy these right now. These are snowboarding goggles that right in the corner here of your goggle, you'll see how fast you're going, how high you are, how long you've been going for. It'll even it'll pop up like what song you're listening to on your thing, and it'll literally tell you how high your last jump was. And you get this digital information about your snowboarding right here, and you can buy this right now. It's expensive, but you can buy this right now. So these are going to come out very soon. And what that'll look like is this. This guy's staring at his McDonald's meal, right? What time is it, guys? I don't want to go over. 11:35. All right, I'm going to have to cook a little bit. You guys can handle me talking fast? My cappuccino's kicking in, so we're going to do this right now. He's staring at this McDonald's thing, right? And it's telling him how much he's going to have to run to get rid of the calories and the carbohydrates he's eating here. And it's giving him digital information right here. This is just a mock-up. This doesn't exist yet. This woman's looking at this coat that she likes. It's telling her what other people are rating it. It's telling her how much it is, and it's giving her the nearest location. I don't know if you can see it. And she can see other people's comments on it through whatever it is she's wearing. Right now, she doesn't have any glasses on. She doesn't have glasses on. There's an MIT Media Lab, where there's a guy who literally has a contact that he puts in his eye. It is scary looking. The thing is like, he has to like peel his eyelids back and just like, what? And it's not ready for us yet. Like it's Apple won't be selling them anytime soon. But this is actually a prototype of a contact lens that you won't even know people are seeing digital information on things around you. It just will be that way. You guys want to go deeper?
Yeah.
All right, let's go a little deeper.
This is like my favorite class.
Well, I've seen that. Like
so everybody, hold on. Everybody is all excited about the iPad because you can touch things. But I think touching things, that's way too much effort. I mean, seriously, my finger's going to get tired. I have to like do this and this. That's way too much effort. You can go on the internet right now and buy a headset. Exactly. Yeah, this isn't a Facebook status. Okay, we'll get through this part. She's right. You can get online right now and buy one of these, stick this on your head, and control your computer with it. With your thinking, you can actually control your computer. And you can train it to do different things. Now, this isn't so advanced that it knows your thoughts, that it can like write some text. But this is the first step towards that. And I can buy one of these as a software developer and actually start developing apps for it, too, and connect it to my phone so I can be like, I can train my brain. And right now it's really primitive. Like I have to imagine a ball in the front of my head. Imagine a ball in the front of your head right now. And then you would train your computer to do something specific like open Facebook or take a photo or play this game or move that ball.
Do you like say it in your mind?
That's right. Well, you think of a ball in the front of your head. And that's what automatically triggers Facebook opening. So this is primitive stuff. It's not to the point where I'm thinking of something and it's just doing it. I'm looking forward to that day when I don't have to drive and send a text message, which you should never do. But I could just think the text message and it sends it. So the whole touchscreen thing, and then so you think of that woman with the glasses on. How do those two things converge? The fact that she's walking around and she's not having to wave her hand in the air and look like a, I don't know, just crazy. Look like she's a little crazy throwing her hand around the air. She can just think about what she wants to see, and it'll start to change it, and it'll start to train it. So that's interface changes are going to be completely different in the next 10 years, guys. Here's a game you can actually buy in SkyMall, surprisingly, where you sit there and you put it on your head and you concentrate and you move this ball through this obstacle course all with your brain. Ah, I've seen it work. It works. You got to be a Jedi to make it work, but it works. Next thing, this guy has an arm that's completely connected to his central nervous system and is controlled, hands and all, from his brain. There's actually another guy, around the same guy, that embedded a chip into his arm. You see this? Okay, so he embedded a chip into his arm that he then had like a USB port thing come out of his arm a little bit, and he could plug into a computer, and there was a hand in the States, this guy's like in London or something, and there's an electronic hand in the United States that they could move, and he'd plug in into a computer in London and control the hand, finger. And he not only control it, but he could feel things himself. He could feel, it was connected to his personal nervous system where if someone were to put something in that electronic hand, in that mechanical hand, he could feel something from London.
That's crazy.
That's creepy. That's crazy stuff. That's in the works right now. This stuff is, the technology, we don't even see it. We only get released stuff because it's ready for consumers. But there's so much stuff that's happening that is so much more advanced than we could think of, and it's exponential. So like I said, everything that you see is it's moving like this, where it's just straight up. It's straight up.
Yes.
I see blood coming out of some people's ears, so just, there's tissues in the back. This is Ray Kurzweil. No, there's no tissue, sorry. This is Ray Kurzweil. You ever heard of the Kurzweil keyboard, anybody? No? Okay. Ray Kurzweil, he is considered one of the best predictors of technology. Now, I don't prescribe to this guy's theology. He thinks that we create God. And this is going to be one of those people that we're going to have to deal with. There's a documentary out there called The Transcendent Man that's becoming really popular. And he's a leader in technology. His goal in life is to not die. He doesn't want to die. And so what he's doing now is all of these physical things where he's taking pills. But since the early 80s, guys, he's been predicting technology down to the year when transistors and microprocessors will hit certain sizes that technologies will be able to do certain things, to the point where Bill Gates relies on this guy to design products for technology that doesn't exist yet. He's so accurate at predicting technology. So he says, at this time, microprocessors are going to be small enough that mobile computing will start to take off. And he's a consultant in this way, and he's been dead on every time. And so now he's got these predictions out until 2045, and he gets really deep into the science of it, where I think it's 2020, the first computer that will be smarter than one human person will exist. So literally has more computational power than our brain. And then 10 years after that, the computers will actually have more computational ability than all humans put together. Do you guys know what that means? Computers are smarter than humans, all of us. It's one of those take over the world things, right? Did anybody see Watson on television? Watson? So Watson beats people on Jeopardy on television right now. So we're already starting to see intelligent computers, artificial intelligence. This guy's a part of a university that's pushing for solutions like this. There are billions of dollars being poured into this sort of technology. There is nothing we can do to stop this sort of development. It is happening. It's happening at an exponential rate, and it's driven by lots of different things. I don't want computers to be smarter than me either. All right. I already said that one. Scary. So this is scary, right? It kind of makes the whole Facebook thing look a little small. Like, should I be on Facebook? Should I be on Twitter? Like, how should I be? Like, we have bigger problems. In your guys' lifetimes, you guys are going to deal with all that stuff more than anybody. It's going to be a part of your lives growing up. You're going to see technological advances and things happen and things come down the pipeline that are just going to be terrifying. Everybody scared? Okay. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember I mentioned at the beginning, guys, the gospel is central. That ultimately how we engage with this and how we view this should always come back to what is the gospel? And how, in light of the gospel, how should we respond to these predictions of technology? These technologies that exist today. How are we supposed to act? I think this really encompasses it right here. We should not be afraid, because it cannot be taken from us. The ultimate giant has already been defeated. There's nothing that we should be afraid of. Is that making sense? Somebody asked me a question. Drill me back if this isn't making sense. So, let me read it again in a different way. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor Facebook nor Twitter, nor nanotechnology, no augmented reality, no computerized revolutions will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in your lifetime, guys, you're going to see crazy technology. And I just want to encourage you that the gospel is true. It's timeless. It will always be true. And you can embrace that. So as you face these things, let's not face them like we see some of our other generational Christians do, which is fear and stiff arm and run to the woods and escape this stuff. Let's believe the gospel and say, all right, these changes are happening around us. There's definitely power of evil, but there's also a massive possibility for good. And that's my next point here, you guys. I want to encourage you all to be looking for these. Does anybody know what Gutenberg is? What's Gutenberg?
He's a cheese.
He invented the printing press. What's the Reformation? What's the Reformation? Do you guys know what the Reformation is? It's when Martin Luther came and pounded the 95 Theses on the door of the church. And what happened with that 95 Theses? Somebody took it down and took it to the Gutenberg press and printed it over and over again, and it started going out. And what happened? A massive reformation, a massive breaking away from the Catholic Church. This church that was basically holding everybody captive to feeling like they had to perform. They had to do something. They had to obey God for God to love them, which is not the gospel, right? And so Martin Luther, while he's learning this theology, Gutenberg at the same time is having this technological revolution, and they just happen to be together. Funny how that works, right? Well, so I want to encourage you guys to think about that in your lifetime. We are sitting at a time when we are in an information age like has never existed before. And so opportunities like this are popping up. We have Facebook. So we all said there's probably, as we were added all up, there might be 30,000 maybe 50,000, maybe 100,000 people connected to each one of you right now, that if you were to all update your status updates, I don't know how many thousand people would actually see it, but thousands of people could potentially see it. That power has never existed in history, ever. And so what I want to call that, and what you guys can start calling it, is a Gutenberg opportunity. Here's a chance for people to hear the gospel that never got to hear the gospel before. And so that's why I start with the future stuff, break down our fear of it. Why should we be afraid of it? The ultimate thing's been done for us. The ultimate giant's already been defeated by Christ. We can embrace this stuff more courageously and start thinking about technology in terms of how can I share the gospel that has been given freely to me, to my friends and my families and my circle of influence on Facebook. Not if that makes sense. Okay, good. Glad you're all there. The history of social networking, we're going to skip that. This is a great picture. This is my life right here. I wasn't talking about Facebook 5 years ago. I wasn't talking about Facebook 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It wasn't in existence. I mean, there was Friendster and there was other things. I was early into technology, ICQ and AOL Instant Messenger. That's still here, right? Does anybody use AOL Instant Messenger still?
Friendster.
What's Friendster? It was one of the first real social networks before, well, GeoCities was one of the very first. Really old, yeah, exactly. Facebook just came in and trumped because they designed really well. But Facebook, here's our lives. It was like, it wasn't here, and then it's here. Pah! And we're just stopped, just like that. And we're all asking, what do we do with this? How do we use it? And hopefully I'll try to answer that. The first thing that people respond to me with is narcissism. They say, Aaron, Facebook makes you narcissistic. And it actually gets right to what she said at the beginning, which was, it makes you feel the wrong kind of important. And so what do people do when they update their status updates? What do you think about when you're updating your status update?
You.
How you can make yourself look cool? How many people will like your status, will comment on your status?
I don't understand that picture.
I'm going to explain this picture just now. But keep going. What else? What other reasons? What else do you think about when you're updating your status update?
Who's going to see it?
Who's going to see it? So you're like, so-and-so going to see it? Is that girl going to see it? Is that boy going to see it? Is that person? You know what I mean? You're just, what's so-and-so going to respond to? The wording, yeah, did I say that right? It gets you to think a lot about yourself, right? Now, let me ask you another question. If you weren't on Facebook, actually, who is thinking about themselves right now? Raise your hand if you're thinking about yourself right now. Now that I mention it, you are, okay, right? Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Now you're thinking about, is my hand too high? Is it too low? Is it, you know, you're thinking about these things. How many people got up this morning and picked a certain type of clothing? Hopefully all of you, because you're all wearing something. There you go. So let's think about that for a second. You guys are already self-absorbed. We're already narcissistic. I am narcissistic without Facebook. And so let me explain narcissism. I'll get back here. This is a picture of narcissist, and he's looking at his reflection here in the water, and he actually died looking at his own reflection. He fell asleep, fell in the water, breathed it in, died. Staring at his own reflection. It's a true story. Well, I don't know if it's a true story. It's a Greek myth. I don't even know the story well enough. But the idea is, guys, we were narcissistic. The word narcissistic has existed before Facebook, long before it. We were narcissistic. We were self-absorbed, self-centered. We thought about ourselves long before Facebook ever came around. Facebook doesn't make us selfish. It just highlights our selfishness. It just highlights the sin in our life. All the more reason why we need to continually reflect on the gospel, which when you reflect on the gospel, it starts to deal with that selfishness and that self-absorption. It gets your mind off of yourself and onto godly things because you're being loved by God. You're realizing, man, he loves me. I don't have to find my identity in what these 500 people think about me on Facebook. I can be whimsical and fun and creative, and I don't have to be worried about what so-and-so is thinking about my status update, because ultimately what really matters is what God thinks about me. And what does God think about you? He sees Christ when he sees you, guys. When he died on the cross, Jesus Christ went into your place. And now, moving forward, anytime God looks at you, and you're believing the gospel, he sees Christ. He sees Christ. So, keep coming back to that. Here's something I want you guys to do. Spend some time and actually give it some thought. That's one issue one area I see that people, just a positive action if you're looking for something to do. Sit down and create a personalized strategy for sharing the gospel on Facebook. Write it out. Think about it. Think about your friends. Think about who they are. Think about what, sometimes the first question answer is, what is the gospel and am I believing it? In fact, that's what I would start to. If you write down anything today, write that down. First reflect on what is the gospel, and then create this thing. Because if you don't know the gospel, if you're not believing the gospel yourself, if you're not believing that God really did it, then it's going to be really hard to share the gospel on Facebook. Now, I have a lot of Christian friends that actually share things that clearly they're not believing the gospel when they say it. They're saying something that's like convicting or like rebuking or mean, or it's just the spirit of it just seems wrong. And it's because they are so afraid that their friends need to hear this message. It's an intense message instead of a message that's motivated by God loving them and them loving their friends. I'm going to give you a very practical filter here. So know your audience. Let me show you. I'm going to skip this one here. One of the most, well, you guys want me to do that one? I'll do this one. This is a status update from a friend. I've crossed out everything. It's got 27 comments. 3 people like it. I'm going to read this to you. Surrender to the, this is a Christian friend of mine who's a part of a church plant in Central California. Surrender to the real you. Surrender to all those ideas about being what you are not and become what you really are. When you surrender to your nature, what? And to what you really are, you no longer suffer. No more self-destruction, no more running from you. When you surrender to the real you, you surrender to life. You surrender to God who will never stop loving you. Now, I did not like this. My first gut response to this was, what is that? That is not the gospel. There is so much in this that is doctrinally wrong. This is not from the Bible at all. Surrender to your real nature? Surrender to your nature? Like, our nature's sin. That's a scary... If I took her advice, I'd be dead.
So Mr. Blank
I'd be dead.
Sin.
Yes. That's what it is. And so this is the type of advice that sometimes comes through the pipeline on Facebook. Exactly. That's right. That's right. She's nailing it. So what you can do is, as you're seeing these things posted on Facebook, it's an excellent time to develop your theology. To have your Bible out, to be thinking about these things, and you read it, and here's my first response to things like this. This is my gut response, and this is actually my sinful response, is I just want to write a comment and say, this is crap. this is not the gospel. I just want to rebuke her. I just want to tell her that she's wrong.
You said it's a she.
Oh, it's a she. That's right. I want to tell, okay, you got that. You're good. Now you can figure out down to 500,000 people, so... So guys, my first response is to respond angrily. And let me just say, that is what happens a lot on Facebook. This is why I encourage leaders to get on Facebook, because there's just a lot of conversations that's happening, and it's not very gentle. It can be very harsh. And you guys, I just want to encourage you, if you read a status update, allow it, if you read it and it's Christian, evaluate it. Say, is this telling me to do more? Or is this telling me that it's been done on the cross of Christ? Is this reminding me of the gospel, or is this some sort of new religion, self-help, sort of push harder, Joel Osteen sort of style thing? You know what I'm saying? And so what I did in 2010 with me and my wife is we saw a lot of status updates like this, and instead of actually responding, we wrote comments. We kind of penciled out comments, and then we didn't actually post them. Because what we did was we checked our hearts. Because if I were to have responded to her angrily, it would have actually been a reflection of me not believing the gospel. Why? Because I believe, basically by me being angry and exposing my anger in Facebook, it's me showing all of these people that I'm not trusting God to change her. That ultimately God can't change her. Plus, there's 27 comments in here. That means there could be 27 different people that are looking at this. I have to think about who they are as well. Because whatever I say here could potentially be misheard by these people in here. And so one of our ultimate goals on social media, guys, as we know the gospel, is to let our gentleness be evident to all. And the gospel is a good thing. It's good news. We never want to present it like it's something that you want to beat people over the head with. You know what I'm saying? We just don't want to beat people over the head with it. So here's a good filter. When you guys are posting a status update, replying to a status update, or anything you're doing on Facebook, ask yourself this question. Am I preaching religion, which is due? Or am I preaching the gospel, which is done? And so you are using this filter as you're looking at a status update. And so take time. Don't just fire off answers. Take time to really think through this filter and say, is this what needs to be said right here? Is that helpful, guys? Religion due, gospel done. Say this. Religion due, gospel done. All right. Another thing here, guys. Experiment, make mistakes, rest in the truth of the gospel. Remember I said the framework is that we've been saved, that it's been done for us. You guys, if you're going to make mistakes, just head back to the gospel. Tell people. Talk to people. Be in a community of people that will preach the gospel to you regularly. These are all important elements of this. But be sure to make mistakes. So back to these boundaries, and I'll just hit these really quick. Discover the joy of narcissism. You are narcissistic. The gospel tells you you're narcissistic. But there is one who is not narcissistic. That one is Jesus, and he has saved you from it. Enter joy. That's how I flipped that one over for you guys. Spend a lot of time on Facebook. You guys, if you're believing the gospel, if you know the gospel, spend time on Facebook and be there and be transformed and transparent to these people on your Facebook page, because there's nobody else out there that's really doing it. It's very, at least in my Facebook feed, I see mostly trash. And there's not a lot of gospel light. There's not a lot of truth. There's a lot of hopelessness. And the best type of advice people get are the type of advice that I showed you in that status update. And that's harsh. And then on the other side, you have all these people who have all the wisdom and advice, and what are they doing? I don't want to be on Facebook. I'm staying away from that stuff. And so now there's this dark country that exists that everybody's a part of that the gospel-believing Christians want to stay away from. So I want to encourage you guys to spend a lot of time on Facebook. And the last one's don't fast from technology. And this one you hear a lot, and I actually don't agree with this. I actually think there's appropriate times to abstain and to get off technology. But the first thing you want to do is believe the gospel and repent of idolatry. Because when I say that I am fasting from technology, and that's the only thing I'm saying that it's something that I do. This guy's mocking me with sign language, I think. Anyway, you're good. Let's skip this one, guys. So let's read this scripture one more time. I'm sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Guys, that's the gospel. Again, let me just emphasize all that one more time. The best way to engage in social media is to ask yourself, what is the gospel? And then, in light of that gospel, how should we be responding to technology? And in no other order should you do it. Because if you do it the other direction, you're either going to be scared, or you're going to be a legalist, or you're going to approach it in the wrong way completely. And so that's my talk, guys. And now I just want to open up for questions. Does this make sense? Let's ask some questions here. Go.
It's not really a question, but I'm not usually on Facebook. My way of doing the social media is Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And I'm on there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot of things, and that's the way that I share the gospel with some of my friends and some people I don't even know.
Great.
Because, I mean, you hear a lot of cussing and stuff like that on there. Every time I hear that, I try to tell them to stop it. If they don't, I just shut the speaker off and don't listen to it or anything.
Yeah. All right. So I've heard of people who actually use World of Warcraft, because you're really literally talking to people on these things. There's ministers out there that are trying to use it to reach people for the gospel, because people spend their whole lives in World of Warcraft. And there's nobody out there to reach them, and it's one of the only ways to interact with them. So there's pastors that will spend time on World of Warcraft to try to reach these people.
So they just get on World of Warcraft
and play? Well, no. And see, the key is, it's not straight preaching. You're building relationship. You're getting to know these people. And then over time, you potentially can get them to share things, and you can start sharing the gospel, and start sharing the hope that has changed us so much.
Like hiding your dog's medicine in
his. What's that now?
Hiding your dog's medicine in his food.
Yes, kind of.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Like. More questions, guys. More questions. Has this made sense? Did the gospel part of this make sense? So when you're in this stuff, you're not trying to modify other people's behavior. You're not trying to tell them what to do and not to do. You want to be there and be sharing the gospel with them and share what God has done for them. Because ultimately that will motivate them to change. Go.
So if you did have a status like that one lady, what would you write if you were to write something?
If I were to write something, I would actually probably figure out a better way to respond to her. I might do a private message to her. And those are the sorts of things you have to think about. What level of relationship do I have? Because, like, some of these people, and this is something other people say about Facebook, is all the relationships are superficial. Have you heard that? And I think we said that at the beginning. Now, let me tell you a story here real quick. My wife and I went to Africa on a 9-month mission trip. It was hard. We saw some really hard things in hospitals, but at the same time, we saw people get saved. We baptized 19 people. It was incredible. People were impacted by the gospel. Thanks, man. Yeah, it was awesome. It was something to celebrate. But all through that time, guys, this is when Twitter kind of first came out, we updated our Twitter status the whole way, and it was just, which was automatically updating our Facebook account. I started getting teary-eyed emails from people I went to the first grade with. Of them, they're not believing the gospel, they don't know Christ, and they're telling me, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I'm so impacted by what you're doing. We had, like, literally 10 of those guys. And people that were very, 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 very superficial relationships, people I would have never talked to again if Facebook hadn't existed, were being impacted by something that was happening to us in another continent. And so when people say superficial, I say, no, it's powerful. It's your weak connections. It's this tiny little line that you have to people that become powerful. So you guys take something you might say around here is don't waste your status update. Don't waste your status update. It is powerful. You're reaching people. People are reading and watching, and especially if you're a Christian. They're watching. They're looking for hope. We're all looking for hope. Why? Because all the other stuff we're using isn't working. The idols in our lives, the relationships, the things that we're trying to fill ourselves up with, it's not working, and people are looking for something deeper, more substantive, and that thing is Christ. And you guys have it, so share it on Facebook. More questions? Go. Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. Aaron, double A-R-O-N.
I have a comment.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I know the guy that built it.
My uncle helped, like, serve on that.
Yeah.
And,
who's your uncle?
I've been using it lately, trying to, like, read through the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how you can click on one verse, it's the Bible, and, like, online, in, like, I don't know, 50 different translations, even in different languages, and on the internet. And if you, like, click on a verse when you're reading, it can post, people can comment on it and post notes and have, you know, scripture references and things that you can just really, like, interconnect so you can get to it from anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like that.
Definitely. That's exactly it.
You don't have to have it physically.
Yep. I have a heart for developers, for software developers. The guy that developed the iPhone app for that is a good friend of mine. He now lives in San Francisco. But, like, I'm constantly talking to him and encouraging him to realize that, dude, you're a Gutenberg. I think it's like some umpteen hundred years of Bible reading time that's happened. They can actually measure how much people are reading the Bible. Yeah, something insane. So, go ahead.
I bet God put
I bet God put you on here on earth right now with Facebook here so that the gospel could also be shared as well. I believe that about you. I believe that about everybody in this room too. You guys, your generation has more power than most generations have ever had. And especially living here in the States, you're privy to technology and things that most people don't have. So who's got more questions? You got one? Go. Yep.
Yeah, well, they, like, did a bunch of changes on Facebook.
Yeah.
And, like, whenever I go on my Facebook page, they always have ads going.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. They want you to buy things. And learning to deal with those things starts with reflecting on the gospel and understanding how we deal with those sorts of things. And that's where abstinence comes in sometimes. That's where getting away from it comes in sometimes. Sure as heck you need to be in some sort of community confessing your sin and sharing what you're seeing if something's affecting you. Or if you have an ex-boyfriend that you're still friends with on Facebook and you're still looking at his pictures, or you see his latest girlfriend, like, it's probably a good idea to talk about that with somebody and make some decisions on what you should be doing. And vice versa for guys and girls. Girls are posting more and more obscured bad pictures, and that stuff's extremely tempting on Facebook, and we have to be dealing with those things. So be talking with somebody about it, your pastor, your youth minister, your friend, somebody, because these things are not going away, and they're just going to get stickier the less you talk about them. So, and we got to apply the gospel to that. What does the gospel say we should be doing about situations like that? You guys, I am really grateful for this group. You guys gave me so much information. It was kind of like a research project at the beginning. So you gave me lots of great information. I really appreciate you guys, and can I pray for you guys as you head out of here? All right. Lord, thank you so much for this group and for this generation, Lord. I pray that we would recognize the opportunity that we live in today, Lord, that we would approach the internet and not be afraid, but believe the gospel and know that you have the power to change the world and that you already changed the world in a huge way by sending Jesus to die on the cross. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for this room. And I pray that you inspire the hearts of these young people, Lord, and that you would equip them and give them that hope that is in the gospel so that they can take that to the ends of the earth. Thank you so much again for your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.